Serving the nation at blogtalkradio.com. This is Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play.
And it comes time. We know how Lincoln dies. You know, a tough spot with a bullet.
And as I speak to you, they are showing a Mongo USA fan at the World Baseball Classic chanting USA.
Actually, this Paul Davis a lot.
Ooh.
First thing you've got to mention here is the additions of Syracuse and Pitts, which is like adding two turds to a lawn.
No one puts the WGCs in a Players' Championship anywhere on the same level as a major prank. So chill out with that.
I actually never knew what meme was, and I always thought it was a MMA. And
I wonder what it is like living out there on Saturn.
She was gorgeous, man. This girl was really good looking. And I'm like, holy, is that so-and-so? And I'm seeing him doing a body shot offer, and he's hammered. He turns around, he's like, I love this place.
You know, round apple with the Orioles lettering on it.
They should put the Orioles one in the river.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Let the madness commence! Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big special Monday show on our special Selection Monday podcast in the city on Locks of the Week Radio from Santa Monica to your ears on blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City. Good to have you with us. Two panelists will join us tonight to break down all that's college basketball this hour. That would be John in Connecticut and Chris in Syracuse. I'm going to make sure to text Mr. Chris in Syracuse just to make sure that he's ready to go. He should be, though. To get all these brackets down, we have four regions to cover in the NCAA tournament. Now, here he is on the line. Speak not too soon. Lots to cover, and we're not wasting any time. Let's get right into it. I mean, this is going to be an exciting tournament this year, and it's as wide open as you'll ever see a field of 68 teams, or maybe even 69. I don't even know how many teams it is anymore, but it is the field of 72. I guess it's 72 now. The field of 72 is it's just going to be very, very open. I counted up to 10 teams that could win the championship this year, and we wouldn't really be that surprised. And I think that those 10 include Florida and Virginia and Arizona and even Ohio State and Villanova, maybe even Villanova, Wichita State, Louisville, Arizona, Wisconsin. And you could go from there. I mean, there are a lot of different teams that could really get the job done. So it's a special kind of a year. Maybe it just means that there isn't that great of a team out there, but there are a lot of good teams, and it's going to be good to really get that all figured out. To get there, a number of teams played their conference tournaments over the last 2 weeks, and there were some snubs and there were some that made it in. Let's now get to all of that. And we will begin by introducing our first of the panelists. We bring into the fold a man we've had pretty much all month, breaking down all of college basketball. Chris in Syracuse joins us first. Chris, welcome to the show. How's it going tonight?
Good, Vid. Excited to be back on. Been on a lot lately. Always a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to break this down and say what I think and... Again, I have zero confidence that I picked any of these games right.
That's going to be more so for a lot of us this year, though. I mean, it's going to be just that kind of a year. So now I introduce the second of our panelists tonight, also pretty big on the college basketball, and one for which his team, UConn, had a pretty good run in the AAC tournament. John in Connecticut is who I speak of. John, welcome to the show. How's it going tonight?
Great, Dave. Thanks for having me on again. It was Chris did a great job over the past month at the conference tournament shows. I took a listen when I had a chance, so great job there, and I'm excited to be here to maybe shed some insight on some of these first-round matchups, which is, I guess, kind of my specialty. Don't ask me, but I'll give you a Final Four, but in terms of a Final Four, I'm just completely lost at these things, but glad to be here.
Thank you very much for the kind words regarding the previous few podcasts, too. It was a lot of fun doing this, and we wanted to give a good flavor for where the teams are coming from for this tournament, because a lot of otherwise they're just anonymous names, and Chris did a lot of the heavy lifting in that. So Chris, my thanks to you as well for compiling all that data. I don't know how you do it. I mean, that's a lot of teams to keep track of, but you did it.
No problem. It's a lot of fun for me. It gives me something to do over the winter.
Absolutely.
Don't do much else in the winter.
Is it warming up at all? Is it getting into the teens now?
Today it didn't feel like it, but I think things might be turning the corner.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It was amazing. I was down in Pennsylvania on Saturday, and it was 60 degrees. I didn't know what to do.
Wow.
Man. It was like beach weather, man.
Yeah, beach weather. Break out the flip-flops.
In central New York now, if it gets to like 40, it's a heat wave. It's news that it's that warm. That's how bad it is.
That's funny. All right. Well, let's actually cover some of the teams that, first of all, that did not make the tournament. And I think a good place to start would be SMU. And a lot of people have already spoken about SMU. It's a puzzling move. I don't get it. I really thought that they'd been touted all year. Everybody thought they were going to be pretty good. And here we are with those guys with SMU, and they really got nothing to show for it. I feel it's a little odd. I don't think they did anything egregious. What do you think happened?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's puzzling. I thought they had enough good wins. They might have, but they lost. They're very good home team. I thought they had the resume to make it, and I didn't think it was all that big of a question. And I look at some of the teams. I mean, NC State, Tennessee, Xavier, any of those teams could have easily been replaced with SMU, and I would have had no problem with it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that's the one most glaring omission to me. Let's go to John with his thoughts about omissions from the tournament. SMU is the one that sticks out, and I know you had something. You said a few things about SMU on the internets today. It's odd. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is. I think the only thing I could even think of that maybe this would be stupid, but the only thing that could have done it that may have been a motivating factor is that the idea of having SMU involved in a tournament of any kind, because of the 1987 scandal they had, but that seems so stupid to even think about. That would be so outrageous, I wouldn't even consider it. So anyway, your thoughts about SMU. Did you think they were good enough for the tournament?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, they were 18th in the country just a Sunday ago, and now they completely missed it. And I'll tell you why they missed it. It's just all politics, Dave. They just
cracked
the dots. Coach Gray the other day was lobbying for more ACC teams to get in over the A-10. The chairman of the committee is the Wake Forest AD, which is an ACC school. There's another guy from Georgia Tech on the committee. And poor SMU gets left out. And, they probably shouldn't have lost to Houston. If they'd won that game in the conference tournament, they'd probably get in. But even so, I mean, they had more than enough good wins. Anyone who watched them, they just destroyed Cincinnati, Memphis, beat UConn twice. I mean, I know the non-conference schedule was bad, but the team they put in, NC State, had just as bad a non-conference schedule. It's the guy I mentioned on this last show. Their schedule was in the 300s. Theirs was in the 280s, and SMU was 300. It wasn't much of a difference. And NC State was 11-13. I looked it up against the top 150 RPI. They are just not a good team. They're a one-man team. They have an excellent player. TJ Warren was ACC Player of the Year. But other than him, it's just a complete and utter joke that they're in the field. Now, if they were to put in Wisconsin Green Bay, I would have been okay with it because, the small mid-major that dominates the league all season, they actually beat Virginia. If they'd given them a shot, I would have been fine with it. But NC State is an absolute disgrace that they're in this field. And the sad thing is, I actually think they had a good matchup against Xavier tomorrow, which is even worse. So that's the main reason, politics, is why SMU is not in the field.
Yeah, I feel like the politics is a big part of that, and it's too bad. It really is, because everything on paper said that they were good enough to win that conference, and all I heard was good things about SMU. I will say I did not see them play, but you guys certainly did, and I'm sure, Chris, if you go by what you saw, did you feel like they had the chops to make at least win a couple games in the tournament?
I thought they could be competitive. Played pretty good defense.
Yep.
And they beat tournament caliber teams. And instead we get the TJ Warrens in. and not only, and John's right, not only do they got a good opening round matchup or first round or whatever the hell it's called these days against Xavier, but then they get, if they were to win that, they get to go play a St. Louis team that is on the skids.
Wow.
I think they're way overseeded. They've been on the skids for 3 weeks. No idea why, but, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have a problem playing them right now. So I could actually see NC State playing later in the weekend.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, especially if Warren has, you know, goes off and does his thing, it could totally happen.
Yeah. And it's always about matchups of these kind of games and these kind of teams. And so it's always funny to see how one team can get a pretty easy, you know, even teams that have no right to be there, and I think NC State's a good example, who still might win a game or two, and then the experts are like, well, see, they won a game, so they belonged, but it's a totally different story for their the road into the tournament, as opposed to, say, you know, let's say Wichita State's road, where they have probably the toughest region. We'll get to that in a minute in the Midwest. It's just all a matter of perspective. So now about on other teams that did not make the tournament, two others I wanted to talk about, Cal and BYU. Oh, no, BYU made it. That's the next topic. It's not my fault. But other snubs is basically my next point. Are there any other teams that you felt missed the tournament that could – you mentioned Green Bay, John. Any other teams that you thought maybe were good enough to make the tournament but did not?
No, just SMU and Green Bay would have been the two. I would have put in everyone else, get them out of here. Cal had too many losses. They didn't play well enough on the stretch. Minnesota, same thing. Way too many losses, and, you know, everyone else, forget it. So just the two, I would have put in SMU and Green Bay, and I would have taken out BYU and NC State. I think the committee got the rest of the teams right.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point you make. I mean, I think most of the bracket, quite a lot of the bracket, was done fairly well. You could make the point that Louisville should have been higher than four. I thought they were fine at four. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a difference. I mean, if they are three or two or four, I think they're all, that's still, all of those are pretty good. So, I mean, by the way, did you think that Louisville would have been, would if they had put Louisville number one, do you think that would have been too high?
Oh, yeah, one would have been ridiculous. I mean, the AAC bottom five was pretty weak, I get that. And Louisville really didn't beat anyone in their non-conference schedule. So I think, you know, everyone's, you know, bitching and moaning with a four. Yeah, I wouldn't have given them a four. I probably would have given them, like, the best number three, or maybe even the worst two, either a two or a three. I definitely wouldn't have given them a one. So I guess if I had to say, I'd give them a three seed.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if I were to make, if I were in the selection committee, I'd probably peg them as a three as well. But just the overall point, I think you're right. I think it really was like, well, two out of 72. That's not too bad. But I will agree with you that BYU shouldn't be in there. I mean, they did not look even competitive in the West Coast Conference final against Gonzaga. And they were taken to the brink by University of San Francisco. So, you know, they did not look impressive, and their defense isn't good. I mean, I just don't know what their ceiling is. So, Chris, let me get your feeling about who you thought should have been in there, in addition to the teams we mentioned, and who shouldn't be in there, aside from the teams we mentioned. Any other alterations you might have made to the field of 60 or 72?
As far as at-large bids, I really didn't see much else. I'm fine with Cal not being in. The only one I've really got a heart on about is SMU. I don't understand that one. But everyone else who I thought could have made a run, or, I mean, I think the horizon was too weak. I wouldn't have bitched if Wisconsin Green Bay had gotten in, but I'm not going to bitch that they're not in. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Cal. Too many losses. Minnesota, didn't strike me as being nearly good enough. Arkansas was right on the brink, and then they fell apart with back-to-back losses to who'd they lose to? Alabama and Auburn. Just terrible losses. Missouri, nothing special. None of St. John's, just not good enough. They didn't do enough work. I think that it, as far as around the bubble, I think this year was fairly cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the SMU one stands out, but really nothing else that I really have a problem with. And I stand by what I said last week. I really don't have a problem with BYU. I think it was a weak bubble this year, as is. Now, if they didn't make it and SMU did, I could understand that. But I don't have a problem with BYU being in the field. They had a couple good wins. They limited the bad losses. Most of their losses were, Gonzaga three times. So, and that's not a bad loss. So I really don't have a big problem with the teams that are in, other than SMU being left out.
Okay. Very good.
I might even feel stronger about SMU being left out this year than I felt about Southern Miss being screwed last year.
Wow.
I thought that was a bad screw job. This was very bad.
Yeah, it is really bad. It's amazing that the ACC had a hand in that. That's crazy. But John's right. I think there's a lot of politics involved. So now let's get to the matchups that are on paper in earnest. We won't have time to cover the play-in games, but I do want to give a shout-out to the Big West winner, Cal Poly. Just an unbelievable Cinderella run in that tournament. Now, to really put it in perspective, the Big West tournament is basically the battle for the 15th seed. So it's not as if they're... it's not like they're going to be playing for a whole lot long term, but in this tournament, getting into the tournament at all, it's an amazing story. It's the first ever conference tournament appearance by Cal Poly. Really just unbelievable. I never would have seen it. Chris and John, I don't imagine you could have imagined it either. John, your thoughts about Cal Poly? This will be really quick, but Cal Poly making it in the tournament, it's news. I think this is a very big story. I don't know how long it goes, but certainly just how far they've gotten is just impressive. It's like a knockdown number two and one. It's just hard to imagine. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the 13-19 in the season, which is, I guess that's the charm of the tournament, that anyone could get hot and make it in. I think if Irvine or UCSD would have won the tournament, they definitely would have been a 16. I probably would have put them at 14 or 15 because – some other bad teams here won their tournaments. But, actually the play-in game is not the worst spot for these teams to end up because it's actually a winnable game for you. And the NCAA still pays out the same amount of money for those games as the regular bracket. So if Cal Poly were to beat Texas Southern and they're a three-point favorite, it should be a close game. They'll get the same amount of money for themselves in the conference as, if they were to be a 16, or they would have no chance if they win and go play Wichita State, they're going to lose by 40 points. So, actually, the playing game's not the worst spot to be. You get some national exposure, and you can win a game. So, pretty cool, I have to say, for Cal Poly and their first ever trip.
It's a very exciting moment for the Central Coast. UCSB can be included in this, too, because they're all part of the area. But Cal Poly really takes it to another level. It's really unprecedented. I don't even know what their fan base is going to do. Then be congregate at the Downtown Brewing Company and go for a couple games and go for that viewing party. It'll be really fun to see how that goes. So, Chris, I'm sure you remember we were talking about this off air. This is just something that you don't see very often, where a team in the conference tournament that just really, I wouldn't say had no business, but they were under 500 by a lot. You saw them a couple times. They didn't look like they had much to bring. And then suddenly they are the winners of the conference. So, how do you feel about this kind of impressive and yet unprecedented run by the Mustangs?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say, holy shit, was I wrong about the Big West last week? They showed me. good run by them. I do think that sometimes when this happens, it kind of gets me down that you don't see the conference's best once it gets, you know, into the tournament. I think it sometimes robs us of maybe a more worthy opponent for some of these teams, where, you know, I would figure the Anteaters or the Gauchos would be, you know, much stronger tournament teams than Cal Poly. And you see that in several other conferences, the Horizon League with Green Bay not being there, Rob Morris losing, you know, to Mount St. Mary's be another one. Tulsa getting in and from Conference USA and not being able to see either Southern Miss or Louisiana Tech. So sometimes that's a little disappointing, but you can't take it away from them, and that's, you know, how the ball bounces. So good job out of them. Maybe the fan base will congregate downtown. It doesn't seem to me like you think that, you know, there's going to be a big riot or anything.
They're
not
going to
be flipping cars and burning couches out in the street.
No, that's Santa Barbara, okay. Buddy. That's Isla Vista. They say that's
or Vancouver.
It could be Vancouver, too. Vancouver. Could you even imagine a Canadian team in the NCAA? I don't even want to. I mean, that's mean in Vancouver. That would be so ridiculous. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. I mean, again, it really, it's a win no matter what happens. I think that's the bottom line. So that's just, thanks for taking time to cover that, because that was really, really neat. And it does affect us here locally, and my roots in Central Coast really play into that. Really good stuff. Okay, so now let's get to the meat of this. Speaking of meat, I got a corned beef simmering on a pot. I'm looking at it right now from my desk here in the kitchen. This is where our studio is, in the kitchen. Checking it out. Should be good stuff when the show's over. Anyway,
good job out of you.
South region is where we start. Florida, the overall number one seed. No argument here. I mean, it could have been Arizona, but they lost. It could have been Virginia, but they lost. Wichita State went undefeated, but again, you have to consider the strength of schedule. Florida, I believe, was undefeated in conference, and they were the most consistent team all year long. Great defense and some pretty good shooting. It is a good team. So I would like to get your thoughts about what they bring to the table, and then tell us about your favorite matchups of the South region in the first round. Okay, Johnny, you have the floor first.
Yeah, Florida, they're experienced. They've been to three straight Elite Eights. They have the point guard, Scotty Wilbekin, who, you know, he's the point guard clutch player at the end of the game. What's his name? Michael Frazier is their three-point shooter. Casey Prather has really improved his game as a kind of an all-around scorer. I mean, they're very deep and talented. Billy Donovan is an excellent coach. The only thing I worry about is, you know, they've really been tested all year. I mean, the SEC is just a miserable basketball league. You know, they got three teams in, and Tennessee is, you know, right at the cut line. The rest of these teams are not very good. I worry if they get into a, you know, a close type of game here against some better competition that they won't be able to handle it, but I think they're definitely good enough to get out of this region. I think this is the easiest region for them compared to the other ones for them to get to the Final Four. As for interesting games here, round one, a couple stick out to me. This VCU-Stephen F. Austin game is extremely interesting to me. Stephen F. Austin, if no one knows about them, they're 31-2. They've won like 20-something straight games in a row. They actually were one of those teams that last year were the one seed in their conference tournament and got beat. And they had a gaudy record, same type of deal. But this year they got the job done. They have five guys who can shoot the three, and they play a very efficient game on offense, which is key here in this game against VCU, who really likes to turn you over. And, you know, if they can't do that, they're really not that good, especially themselves shooting the ball. So I like Stephen F. Austin actually to win this game through 5-12 upset.
Hmm.
UCLA Tulsa really didn't do anything for me. Tulsa had a nice run. They're a good defensive team. Danny Manning's the coach. We all know him from his Kansas days, but UCLA is probably going to win that. Other things here, New Mexico got completely screwed as a 7 seed. I didn't understand that one. They beat San Diego State and have been playing excellent basketball the last 2 months, and for them to get a 7 is a joke, although they did get a very good matchup against Stanford and then Kansas potentially without Joel Embiid. I actually think New Mexico can win that game. I hate putting my eggs in New Mexico's basket again, but that's a great matchup for them. Round two. Trying to think what else here. Dave, I think I heard you say at the beginning of the show that Ohio State was a Final Four team. If that happens, I'll walk from my house to your house in California. No way. They can put the ball on the basket at all. They're great on defense, and they win the game by turning you over, but they are just a hideous offensive team. They can't score. And if Dayton is hot with their shooting, they can win that game easily round one. And the last game, I guess, Syracuse and Western Michigan. I'll let Chris do the woe is me with Syracuse, but they are not playing well at all. And call me crazy. I think Western Michigan has been a little scared for a while. I read that, I guess, Eastern Michigan, their coach is a former disciple of Boeheim, and they kind of employ the same 3-2 zone. So I guess Western Michigan has seen it before. I think Cuse will win, but I think it's going to be a close every game. So I guess that's my just general breakdown of the East region. I guess I saw it inside the South region. And one more thing, Pitt is going to drill Colorado. I don't like Pitt at all, but that's just a really good matchup for them. So there you go. I'm the South.
I may go the other way with that Colorado-Pitt game. I have Colorado winning that one. But you know what? I think Pitt should be the favorite in some. I don't know if it'll literally be the favorite, but they should be a favorite to win that game. So it's that's why it's an 8-9. I mean, it's going to be a pretty close matchup anyway, so it really could go either way. So, Chris, so let's get your feeling about the South region. Florida, your number one seed, the most consistent team. We went through a lot of that. But your thoughts on the South?
Well, as far as Florida, I'm just going to plus one to everything John said. They can shoot the lights out. They also have two. Their big guys inside are all right. They're solid. Patrick Young never really became the superstar that, you know, he was projected to be at one time, but he is still very solid. And with all those shooters around, you know, it makes it easier for him. But other than the weak SEC in it, and, you know, I still think Florida is a good enough shooting team to come out of this region. I have them coming out of this region.
Yeah,
Kansas without Embiid, I really have no idea what to do with them. I really don't. They could easily lose to New Mexico, but after last year, I am very wary on the Lobos. But they have been playing well lately. I've seen a lot of them, which sometimes is bad. But I definitely have them beating Stanford, and you know. Good job of Stanford for being able to probably save Dawkins' job.
Yeah.
I do have Dayton over Ohio State, and I don't know what I will do if Ohio State made the Final Four, but it would be something equally as ridiculous as John. UCLA won't have I don't think they'll have a problem with Tulsa. In fact, that might be a very low-scoring game. That might be tough to watch, and you know, slow versus slower.
Yeah,
which is what. And you know, I went back and forth on the 12-5 as well, and I like Stephen F. Austin, but I want to see how they react. I ended up just taking VCU. I really want to see how they react to some better athlete. Stephen F. Austin acts to some better athletes getting up in their face and pressuring them for the entire 40 minutes, because that's what VCU does. I wasn't very high in them, but then they won the A-10. The A-10 was decent this year, so, you know, I up until then I thought they were kind of a disappointment, a little bit of underachiever. They're not a very good shooting team, but I picked VCU, so I want to. So I think a fun game would be VCU with the Havoc versus UCLA and the Steve Alford slow play. I think that could be
it's gonna grind to a halt,
yeah,
buddy.
That could be a weird game.
Yeah.
And yeah. For what it's worth, I also took Pitt in the first round.
Okay.
I may not have before this weekend, but if Tlaib Zana is going to impose his will like he did this weekend,
all right,
then I definitely have Pitt.
Okay. 21 rebounds? Are you kidding me?
Well, oh, man. I see what you mean. It's
I want to hear Chris's thoughts on Syracuse. We didn't get that.
Oh, they stink. it's not going to be a woe is me. I mean, I just throw my hands up because some of these looks are good. The ball is just not going through the basket. It's mind-boggling. You've seen them make the same shot before, and now it's just none of them are going in. And you just throw your hands up, and if that's going to continue, then they're going to stink. But they will not lose to Western Michigan. Whatever you want to say after that, whatever happens Saturday against what I'm thinking is Dayton, you can be my guest, but they're not going to lose to Western Michigan. Just too athletic. I think it's just going to be because Syracuse can run. They're big. You know, if they have to dunk to get every point, they might be able to handle it. I think Western Michigan has one tall kid, but he's like a stick. It might not even be the right guy I'm thinking of, but they will not lose the first round game.
Okay.
Anything after that is up for grabs, and I don't even care. And I really don't even care what you want to say about them at this point.
All right.
I mean, the play the past few weeks has spoken for itself.
Yes, I think you could say that again. Boy, NC State beat them, right, in the tournament? Is that what happened there? Yeah, that's right. Boy,
yes,
that is
what happened.
That is crazy. And they had like 18 shots at the end of the game to try to tie it up or take the lead. I think it was crazy.
NC State in the field. So thanks, Chris, for giving us NC State.
All right, John. Quick question for you. Gun to your head, do you see Kansas making it to the next weekend? Meaning, will they make the Sweet 16 this year with them beat out?
No, I have in my bracket, I have New Mexico beating them. I think if you saw the game, Kansas-Iowa State on Friday night, and Iowa State just destroyed them on the inside, got whatever they wanted, and I could see the same thing happening with New Mexico, who has two very capable big men, especially Cameron Bairstow, who can shoot. You can draw the big your big man away from the basket. He can shoot and take it to the rim. Same with Alex Kirk, and they're just on a roll. And I think New Mexico is going to beat them this weekend. So to answer your question, no. I think they'll beat Eastern Kentucky, but then lose to New Mexico in the second round.
Okay. I can't really see him advancing either, honestly. But, I think I said the same thing. I got New Mexico beating him in the second or third round of the tournament. So there you go. So now to the East region. Virginia, your winner. A little unlikely winner of the ACC this year, both in the regular season and I believe in the tournament as well. I'll correct me if I'm wrong, but they definitely have earned that. I mean, the ACC, one of the better conferences in the NCAA, and they had some great wins against Duke. And I imagine that they were very strong, good defensive team. They are a team's team. You know, there's not just one guy that stands out, but a number of guys, and they really work together. And I think their defense, more than anything, really impresses me. So they are one of a series of very interesting teams to watch. The other would be Harvard. They did a great job in the tournament last year. If I'm remembering this correctly, I think they beat New Mexico? Or was it somebody else? Anyway, or was it UNLV?
No, you're right.
It was New Mexico? Yeah. So that team had returned a lot of its guys. They're back. Michigan State, you never count them out, although ESPN's gotten a little bit too happy with those guys picking almost all their experts picking them to win the championship, if not let alone the Final Four. And then Iowa State, you already mentioned them, John. Yeah, this is a team to watch. This team has been touted all year. Chris, you were big on them too. So it's a good bracket. Maybe it's not as tough as some of these other ones we'll mention in a minute, but it's a good bracket. Don't forget about Villanova and Connecticut. So let's go to Chris first for the East bracket. Who are going to be the teams to watch in the East?
Well, I've been high on Iowa State. They started good. They
they went through a little lull, and now it seems they're, you know, back where they should be. And you can always count on this time of year for Tom Izzo to get his team playing well. They seem to be a little, they seem to be healthier. I never count them out. I have Michigan State coming out of this region. Just kind of more of a feeling I have. They're talented. As long as nobody gets hurt, some of these kids seem to be like glass. And it seems to happen a lot to Michigan State. And sometimes I just wonder if it has to do with their scheduling, because they play a brutal schedule every year as far as non-conference opponents and whatnot. And sometimes I wonder if it really takes a toll on these kids. But in any case, Cincinnati, I don't see them losing to Harvard. I know that Harvard has a lot of kids back, and they were, some people thought they'd be even better from than last year. I just haven't seen it. They did enough to win the league. They didn't blow the league out. They didn't blow the Ivy League out. I think they won by a game or two. But I just don't see it happening this year. But Cincinnati, you and I have discussed this off-air. You know, just way too much. They're a great defensive team, great rebounding team. But when they need buckets, there's only one guy who can do it, and they rely on him almost solely for it. And their disappointing showing in the AAC tournament, I think, was a little indicative of that. And he even, and Kilpatrick even got the ball on the rim, and it hung there what seemed like an eternity before rolling off for the tie, and then as time expired. But I see that such a scenario happening with the Michigan State game.
Interesting. So you got Cincinnati. Carry on.
So I have Virginia winning the first couple games,
okay,
then going down to Michigan State. In the bottom part of the bracket, I'm not high on Villanova right now. I have UConn taking care of them. Iowa State. I'm pretty high on Providence right now, and I took them over the heels, and I might catch flack for that, but I took the Friars over the heels. They just came off the win against Creighton. They really needed, and that was after getting whacked at Creighton at the end of the regular season, just destroyed. So I like how they bounced back, how they played in the tournament, games that they had to win. Bryce Cotton seems to be healthy, or he's going to be healthy anyway. So I took the 11 seed here as well.
So got some double-digit seeds making some advancements here in this bracket. All right, let's get John's take on the East region. One quickie, though, I will mention. I actually like Harvard to win. So that'll be my 12-5 upset of the year. I've got Harvard winning that game. I will concur with Chris as far as Iowa State. I won't exactly how far they'll go yet. I'll cover that a little later with the predictions. But I'm not as big on Michigan State. I do not see them making the Final Four, so I'll just give that one away right now. So, John, your thoughts about the East?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the toughest game of my entire bracket to pick was the Elite Eight game that I have here between Michigan State and Iowa State. Just impossibly tough because I really like both teams. Both teams coming on hot here at the end of the season. I almost kind of wish Michigan State hadn't won the Big Ten tourney because everyone is on them now. Every single person on ESPN picked them to win, and that's just like a kiss of death. And you know, but it's sad because I really like them, and I think they were number two or three before the season, and they're playing like that right now with all their guys finally healthy. But it's just a kiss of death from ESPN. I honestly still don't know if I'm gonna. I mean, I'll give you predictions later. But they're subject to change. Let's just say that.
Okay.
As for the rest of the region, you know, Virginia is just an excellent team. I cannot say enough about how good of a coach Tony Bennett is. To get that team, you know, they play such excellent defense. They're very efficient when they're on offense. I mean, the problem with Virginia is, you know, since they're so kind of a slow-tempo team, if they're not really making a lot of shots, the games are going to be close. But there's no one better that I would want on the sidelines than Tony Bennett. He's just excellent in terms of a coach. But I think they're going to meet their match with Michigan State in the Sweet 16. Let's see what else here. I agree with you, Dave. I like Harvard. You know, they did lose a couple games in the Ivy, but it's kind of hard to get up every night when you pretty much knew you were going to win the league. You're bound to lose a game or two. They're still very impressive. Cincy just really doesn't do anything for me. As Chris said, they can't score other than Kilpatrick, and it's just going to be a close, grinded-out game, and I'll take Harvard for the upset anyway. I also have Providence to beat UNC. I don't know. They're just hot right now, and, you know, I'm not much of a UNC fan myself. You know, maybe a little biased with that, but I know they finished the season well, but they can have stretches where they don't score either. And I hate to say it, but I think St. Joe's is going to beat my Huskies. I think they're too dependent on the jump shot sometimes, and they're very they cannot figure out a zone defense. And St. Joe's is hot, and I think they'll beat UConn. And Nova, I'm not sold on either. I agree with Chris, but I think they'll do enough to get to the Sweet 16, where they eventually lose to Iowa State. Iowa State, again, is another team incredibly well coached. I mean, look at the coaches in this bracket. You have Bennett at Virginia, Izzo, and Michigan State, obviously, and then Fred Hoiberg, who he might be my favorite of all. I mean, this guy is just, I mean, what he's done with the Iowa State program, and they just play such a unique style of ball, too. It's like an NBA style where all five guys can handle the ball, all five can shoot. Edgem is just a tremendous player. Niang is a mismatch nightmare. He can shoot it and go on the inside. So, again, that's just such an impossible game for me to pick between Michigan State and Iowa State, and I'm probably going to be wrestling with that for the next 20 minutes whenever it is to get to our predictions. So, and then one last thing, GW over Memphis in the 9-8 game, the annual tradition of picking against Josh Pastner in the tournament, he was just horrible. So, it was
See, you know, some of these moves are some of these.
We have great coaches in this bracket, and Josh Pastner.
Right, exactly.
Oh boy, yeah. No, I mean, this might be the best coaching bracket there is. Well, I actually, that's a triple checker on a checker on the George Washington pick. I picked him too. You got to get a couple of nines to beat eights, too. So that's actually a pretty good choice. Oh, man. Wait till we get wait till we get to, like, the West region in terms of Mongo coaching. We are going to have some fun. But right now, we'll stay with where we are. And then advance to the Midwest region, where I think people are going to say Wichita State got a raw deal. People are going to say that Wichita State's not going to get very far. Be that as it may, I think they're in an appropriate spot. I mean, they should have had a number one seed. I don't think anyone's disputing that. But them being in the Midwest, I think befits them. I mean, first of all, they are from the Midwest, so I think geographically it makes sense anyway. So I think that's fine. I guess the question is, how far are they going to go? So why don't we go to John first and get his thoughts about the Midwest and Wichita State's chances and Louisville's chances. They're getting talked up just as much as Michigan State right now. So what do you think about the Midwest, John?
Yeah, again, the fourth seed here is a trendy pick with Louisville, and it's hard to argue. I mean, they're just playing amazing ball right now. Russ Smith, the game against SMU, at SMU towards the end of the regular season, he had like 6 3-pointers and, like a 5-minute span. It's unbelievable. They have a kid, too, Montrezl Harrell, who's really picked up his game towards the end of the season. He's a beast on the inside. He's playing great. The whole team is just, hitting it at the right stride, hitting their stride at the right time, rather. I think the winner of Wichita State and Louisville in a Sweet 16 matchup, and it's a shame that's in the Sweet 16. Kind of would rather have Louisville as a three, so you'd see that game like in the Elite Eight, but I think the winner of that game is going to go in the Final Four and eventually maybe even the national title game. Wichita State, again, they're so well coached, too. They return pretty much everyone from last year. I think just one guy not returning from the team, but the additions that they made, I think they're even a better team than they were last year, I'll be honest with you. And they're just so well coached. They can all shoot the three. They're five starters, and they play tenacious defense. And I think the fact that a lot of people are doubting them, they're just going to use this as a chip on their shoulder, really. you know, they're being disrespected by a lot of people throughout the country. So, and then, you know, everyone's talking about a potential matchup with Kentucky on too, which is very interesting. But Kentucky is like the opposite of Wichita State. Wichita State, rather than have the kind of heralded McDonald's All-Americans, and they're incredibly well coached, while Kentucky has the best recruiting class of all time and can only get an 8 seed in the worst college conference in America. It's just mind-boggling, you know, that they've underachieved so much this year. I guess it goes to show you that Coach Cal's approach, you know, of winning a title with one and dones only works, you know, once a blue moon, which it has so far. And so the rest of the bracket, well, the bottom of it, I mean, Duke, you know, they got two great players. I mean, Jabari Parker is excellent, obviously, but they really struggled away from home. I mean, they lost to Clemson and Wake Forest. And if their threes aren't hitting, they're going to be in big trouble. And I think Mercer actually can get them a game round one. That's a very dangerous team. I think they're a little better than Florida Gulf Coast. That was their lead the Atlantic Sun. So I think Mercer can get them a game. I think eventually Duke will pull away. Michigan, obviously, with their great shooting and coaching with D-line, they're a dangerous team, too. I think Michigan will get out of that bottom half to the Elite Eight. Texas and Arizona State is your clown cars crashing into each other game of round one. And that is just a brutal game. I mean, my God. We're still getting my own one. I hate to say it here for our friend Andy in Seattle, but how the hell is UMass a 6th seed? I bet it was just mind-boggling to me. I mean, they're a solid team. They got some good players. Chaz Williams is an excellent guard. They can shoot the ball well, but they play a really Mongo type of basketball, a lot of turnovers. And I actually have Tennessee beating Iowa in the playing game and then beating UMass round one. So that's kind of like my upset for that region. So, again, for me here, it's going to come down to Wichita and Louisville in that Sweet 16 game. And against my better judgment, I have Louisville winning, even though everyone does, but as now that's how I stand on this one.
That's a tough one. I mean, it's just like Michigan State. It almost seems too good to be true. And just like you, I'm picking Louisville to advance past Wichita State in that particular matchup. So now let's get Chris in Syracuse to fill in his thoughts on the Midwest region. I certainly want to hear about what you thought about Kentucky here. Yes, this is not a good season. This has to be, by any standard, a disappointment. So with them and the rest of the bracket, you have the floor.
Well, as far as Kentucky goes, I think Wichita State is going to beat them handily in the second round, and here is why. First off, they have to beat Kansas State. I don't think it's a given.
Right.
I think they will, but I don't think that's a given. I don't think anything's a given with this Kentucky team because they have no poise, no poise whatsoever. When things start going bad, their body they melt away. They get that glazed over deer in a headlight look. Calipari can't get through to these kids. They're not listening. I don't know if they're not listening or they don't know what to do or what the deal is, but they have no poise. And when things start going bad, they don't get any better. It seems. It just seems to snowball, and then seems like they feel sorry for themselves, and, well, they've lost 10 games playing in the SEC, so, I mean, you tell me.
Wow.
I guess I do like Louisville. You know, again, like everybody else, but it's hard not to pay attention after what they did. It may have scarred some people listening to this for life with what they did to Rutgers. that was not pretty. That was not pretty.
Well, that's illegal in the speech that they did to them.
Don't worry. I'm sure everything will be great for Rutgers where they land in their new conference. It'll only get easier. I don't like St. Louis. I think they've, like I said earlier, I think they've been on the skids for quite a while. And I think I think the TJ Warrens are going to beat them. I really do. Call me crazy, but I can see that happening easily. And here's an interesting one, and I agree that UMass is atrociously overseeded. I don't get it either. And I think they're going to lose in the first round. But my problem is I cannot pick this play-in game for anything. This is about as dead even, in my opinion. Both teams have good wins. Both teams have squandered opportunities and lost games that they shouldn't have lost. Tennessee had opportunities to pull off big wins, and they just couldn't get the job done. But whoever that 11 seed ends up being against UMass, I like them. Either one of those teams, for all the reasons that John laid out. Michigan does not scare me right now. They haven't really impressed me that much all year. I don't know why. I think they really miss Mitch McGarry. I don't know. I can see them going down to Duke. The 7-10 game, my question is the arena going to be big enough to hold that much Mongo between Texas and Arizona State?
You know, picking a game like that's going to be... Go ahead.
Well, I have Duke coming out of the bottom part of that region, but I picked Texas, I mean, really, you're right. Picking a game like that that could be terrifying to watch, to be honest with you. Though, at Texas, I'm surprised it's even here. I am surprised they're there. I predicted on this very show at the beginning of the college basketball season that Texas would fall off so bad that Rick Barnes would lose his job.
Wow.
And that hasn't happened.
Right. it's surreal. Like I'm just as surprised as anybody else. I think I don't know if it goes so far as to give him coach of the year, but he has done a good job. I mean, he's really rallied them to some big wins. They did beat Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma State, I think, and they worked their way into this spot. I like them to beat Arizona State too.
If Rick Barnes wins Coach of the Year, I will have to find some other insane, crazy gimmick to... In fact, I might just quit.
Just forget the whole thing. Yeah, no, I don't want to get...
Forget the whole... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I won't get too carried away.
Hell, look at all these weapons.
Yep. I didn't hear what you said there, John, but I wasn't... I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Nah, I said hell would have frozen over if that happened.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I mean, you've seen the frozen lake in Chicago. Imagine that being the rest of the country. Yeah, that would be hell freezing over as we speak. I can't even imagine who wins that game. I did pick Texas. John, did you pick Texas as well in that matchup of the Mongos?
Yeah, I did, just because I think their defense is a little better than Arizona State, and I just did not like what I saw from Arizona State down the stretch. Just way too many blowouts in games where they literally could not score. And I don't know. I just think the Big 12 is just a little bit stronger than the Pac-12 too. So just for no other reason than that.
Okay, very good, everyone. Let's now get to our final region in the tournament, the West region. One team that could have been the number one overall until they had a little bit of a downturn towards the end of the season, that would be Arizona. Cal went out and they beat them. Oregon went and beat them. I don't remember if that was in Arizona or in Oregon, but they beat them towards the end of the season, which pretty much put them in the tournament, meaning the Ducks. So they are in, and they are also in the region, playing BYU of all teams. So that is one. We'll see what happens there. Wisconsin's your number two seed. Creighton McBuckets in the tourney. We'll see how that one goes. And how about Tim Miles in Nebraska, really building a new career in Lincoln, doing a great job this season, although they didn't get it done against Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. They have made the tournament, and I think that's big news for Nebraska. It's probably their first tournament berth in quite some time. They're playing Baylor, San Diego State, Oklahoma, North Dakota State. Some people thought of them as a sleeper pick, not to win the whole thing, but just as a sleeper pick in general. And then Gonzaga, Oklahoma State, who also is on the roll, and Marcus Smart returning really was a big spark plug for them. They have really been tough to stop since then. So this is a pretty interesting region. John, how do you see it?
Yeah, to me, this is the most wide open of all four, and you're not going to believe who I'm taking out of this one. We'll get to it in a minute.
All right.
Just for some couple here. Yeah, hold your seatbelts when I reveal, but a couple thoughts here on this region. You know, Arizona, their team changed when Brandon Ashley broke his foot, and you know, Sean Miller is an excellent coach, and he's done a nice job of adapting the team, but they're clearly not the same. Trouble scoring. It's very interesting how a lot of these top teams, they all have very, very good defenses, but all are prone to scoring droughts. It's going to be very interesting when they get into these tight games. But Arizona can go through some really, really horrific scoring droughts. But saving grace is they do have the best defense in the country. I mean, the Pac-12 tournament, I know, you know Utah's not a very good team, but they literally held them to like 15 points in one half. Just unbelievable defense when they want to turn it up. But I really worry about them going forward in the long term, winning 16 here and winning the national title. Everyone's talking about the potential Oklahoma State-Arizona game in round two, and I agree that matchup is going to happen. I think Oak State's going to beat Gonzaga, but I just really, really worry about Travis Ford, and he is just a hideous coach. I hate to say it. That team is so talented, and you know, had his eight-game losing streak culminated with the whole Smart punching that dude at Texas Tech, and then I kind of figured it out towards the end of the season, but I just do not trust him in a close game, and that's what that game is going to be. And I really want to pick Oklahoma State in that game because, you know, they're very talented with Smart and Brown and Nash and all those guys, but it's just very worrisome from a coaching perspective. So I'm going to hold off on that, but I still might do it. As I said, subject to change here. A couple of these other games, Oklahoma, I really like. You know, they can really shoot the basketball. If you've already watched any of their games, I mean, it's like a three-point shooting contest, and it's a really fun style play with Ron Kruger. But he's struggled in the tournament, and they get a pretty bad matchup with North Dakota State because Oklahoma doesn't play much defense, and North Dakota State is, believe it or not, their field goal percentage as a team is 50%, which is pretty good. So I actually kind of like their chances to win this game, and we're going to Dave, you know the pool that our friend Yachts is running. I actually got North Dakota State, so I'm going to have to switch up and take them here in this game. I wasn't planning on it. San Diego State is just going to smother New Mexico State. That's no problem there. Creighton is going to have no problem with Louisiana Lafayette. Oregon should just crush BYU. BYU, again, they played a very difficult non-conference schedule, but they just lost one of their best players, Collinsworth, to an ACL injury in the West Coast Conference tournament. They're different team, and they can go through some pretty horrific scoring stretches as well. And as Mongo is Dana Altman is, I think Oregon could win that game easily. Wisconsin's a very trendy pick for a lot of people just because they're a different Wisconsin team this year. They're very athletic and can score the ball, but I don't know. I just have a lot of bad history with them. I just feel dirty picking them, so I'm not going to take them. Believe it or not, the team who I'm taking to go to the Final Four out of this region, and I must be on drugs. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just love the way Baylor's been playing, and I'm taking them to go to the Final Four out of this region.
Whoa.
You know, call me crazy. I know. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I can't even explain myself here. You know, they were at least down to the top five at one point in a non-conference schedule. They're playing great basketball, and then they got to the Big 12, and they started at least 2-7 or 2-8, and they're going nowhere. And all of a sudden, Scott Drew, I don't know how he did it, but he rallied the team. One of their players, Kenny Cherry, was injured, but he's back. And their team are really rolling right now. I mean, they got guys who can shoot the ball. They play the zone defense. It's just impossible to penetrate. They're really long and athletic, and I think they got some really good matchups for that style of play here in this region. I mean, Creighton, you saw what a zone that Providence did to them. And Baylor's zone is 10 times the zone that Providence runs. And then I think they can handle Wisconsin and whoever else is on the top of that bracket. As I said, I'm not sold on Arizona. I don't know why, but I just love the way Baylor's been playing. And if I got to be bold with one of these teams, then so be it. So the Baylor Bears, and I could be, you know, my motherfucking Scott Drew by Thursday or whatever they say. Yeah, yeah. But know why. I just love the way they're playing, and we'll see what happens. So that's my bold pick for this year is Baylor to the Final Four.
You really can't get any bolder than that, John. I mean, but if it happens, you can go on the message board. You can go everywhere. You can go, I called it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. I certainly could, but I don't expect it to happen. But I don't know. I just kind of got a feeling. I just really like the way they've been playing, so might as well give it a shot.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, it's going to be that kind of year for it. If there, you know, you have to think that there's going to be one team that sneaks under everybody's sight, sneaks behind everybody, and then makes it to the Final Four. Why not Baylor? Well, Chris in Syracuse may have an answer to that, but in addition, let's get his thoughts about the Western region.
I didn't know what to do with this region. I have Arizona coming out of it. I still don't think that's a bad pick. I'm not sure if it's a great one. Oklahoma State's the trendy upset pick, and obviously now I got to hope it doesn't happen. But we've seen them, you know, be Mongos. Just the whole year has just been, I mean, what an odyssey for that team, between starting hot, then, you know, going in the tank, and there was that game where Smart just kind of went through the game and sulked and pouted, and, you know, he was throwing a tantrum by himself. He wasn't with his team, and then he swore that that would never happen again, and, you know, he'd be better. And then, you know, he goes after some douchebag fan, which I don't care what the guy said. You can't do that. You cannot do that. And then they come back and he comes back and they pick up the pace and they start winning. But sometimes, you know, they could revert back. Baylor could revert back.
Right.
I see what John's saying. And when Cherry gets hot and he's putting them in, and when Heslip's putting them in, it can be a barrage. I've often been disappointed with their interior play. I think Austin is way too timid. Way too timid. Rico Gathers can rebound and whatever, but he's not a very finished offensive player. I thought Royce O'Neal would have a bigger, I'm not going to say he didn't have an impact this year, but I really kind of thought he'd have a bit of a bigger impact, the Denver transfer. I do like Oregon over BYU. Again, Dana Altman, Mongo, we all know. Has come to be expected. you know.
I know. We've seen it.
Creighton, well, yeah. But they should be able to get by BYU. BYU really doesn't play defense. They have no interior defense at all. They can't stop anybody. Again, I have Arizona coming out of this. San Diego State, you know, I have them winning their first game and their second game against Oklahoma. I do like Oklahoma, but they are relying on the three. But again, I said last week, Buddy Hield's a hell of a player, and you know he's the kind of guy who can carry a team. It's a shame, you know, more people haven't heard of, you know about him, because he's a very special player. Kind of like another guy who's flown under the radar, and he's didn't even make it to the tournament. The team didn't deserve it, but Juwan Staten from West Virginia, fantastic player, and again, just not the exposure that they really deserve. But, you know, if Oklahoma were to get hot, a lot more people will know about Buddy Hield. Wisconsin is, I think they're kind of Wisconsin. They're definitely not as good defensively as past Wisconsin teams, but they're better offensively than past Wisconsin teams, so I really didn't know what to do with them. They're not protecting the paint like a Wisconsin team, but they're athletic and getting to the basket and putting the ball through the hoop, unlike Wisconsin teams. So I was a little confused on what to do with them. I have them losing to Creighton. I like Creighton. I like McDermott. I really don't know what their ceiling is. The Providence loss was a little concerning. I didn't get to see it, unfortunately. I was on the road. So I will take John's word about the zone defense. I wish I had been able to see some of the games on Saturday, but it just wasn't in the cards. But in any case, I have Arizona coming out of the region. Again, subject to change.
Okay.
I know it's not very creative, but I feel all right about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, chalk is, everybody might laugh at you, oh, you go chalk, but, you know, a lot of times you end up in the upper end, up with the upper hand in that. But, John, you know, this your pick of Baylor to come out of the West, it's bold, and you know what? It's not that far-fetched when you really think, when you really go to the numbers, not that far-fetched. There's a lot of talent on that Baylor team. It could be very interesting if they can get past Nebraska. That's a big if. I wouldn't count them out in that first round game, but let's say they do, then, you know, they could go wherever they want to go. I think it's as simple as that. So, John, let's now get to our remaining predictions. You have Baylor coming out of the West. I'd like to, if you could, recap the rest of the Final Four and then give your title game predictions if you have them. So let's hear your Final Four and championship predictions.
Nice. So obviously, I just said Baylor out of the West. Against my better judgment, we'll go Louisville from the Midwest, Michigan State from the East, and Florida from the South. Again, if I were to change anything, I'd change Michigan State for Iowa State and Louisville for Wichita, but this is what I'll stick with for now. And then I'll have a Michigan State-Louisville final. And I hate to be like the guys on ESPN, but I said even before the bracket came out, watching that Big Ten title game, I said this is the best team in the country while I was watching Michigan State. So, you know, I'm not going to go against my initial instincts. So I'll go with Tom Izzo. And I saw an interesting stat that said in his 18 years as a head coach, so that every player who had played for him for 4 years had reached the Final Four. And if they didn't make it this year, that streak would be snapped. So, he's going to get back there, and they're going to cut down the net. So, Tom Izzo and the Spartans for the national championship.
Wow. And, you know, that would be beating the ESPN kiss of death. And I'll tell you what, it's happened before. So it wouldn't be – it's not an end-all be-all when you see that much praise for a particular team. Sometimes they do live up to the hype like the Heat do, the Miami Heat do. So we will see. So, Chris, let's hear your predictions. Final Four, you mentioned that Arizona's coming out of the West, so let's hear the rest of the Final Four, and then your championship predictions.
Well, my national semifinals would be Arizona versus Louisville and Florida versus Michigan State, with a title game of Florida versus Louisville, and I will take Florida. I like the way Louisville's playing right now. And everyone loves Russ Smith. They love this Russ Smith. But sometimes they forget about the other Russ Smith, the careless Russ Smith, the what the hell were you doing Russ Smith. I don't know, you know, if he can, they get to the final game, which Russ Smith do you get? And with Louisville, that can make the difference. Because I've seen Russ Smith do some pretty whack, stupid things that, with some turnovers and with some shots he's taken. In any case, Florida, very good shooting team, very well balanced. They play defense. They have an interior. Billy Donovan, you really can't say much bad about him, so I will pick the Florida Gators to win it all.
All right, and you know, and again, the most consistent team all year long, and for quite a good portion of the second half of the season, they were the number one team in the country, and they never held up with that. From that, the only thing I'd say about Florida is that I think you can say that Florida, as you both already said, played in a pretty weak SEC this year. So even though they were essentially undefeated in conference, or maybe actually undefeated in conference, that may not amount to as much as it might sound like on paper. But I still like Florida. I think they'll probably be the best team, and I think the coaching helps in that. Billy Donovan does a good job. He's never really underachieved in most of his seasons at Florida, so I feel like this will be the case this year that have them winning it all. So let's step backwards for my predictions. I have them beating Arizona, so they will come out of the West. And the other two teams will be Virginia and Louisville. Virginia not getting a lot of love from the media, the basketball media in this particular selection shows or otherwise, because a lot of people like Michigan State, and for good reason. I didn't say it was bad reason. Everybody's healthy at this point, but I just feel like Virginia's got more to show than what they have, and Tony Bennett can take them there. Their defense is so good. And they can do it man-to-man. It's just I know maybe I just based that off a couple games, but that could be a really interesting matchup. So those are my predictions. Florida, Arizona, Virginia, Louisville. Florida beats Arizona for the national championship. So, I guess that's it. I mean, any final thoughts you wanted to bring up? Any other things, grievances? We'll start with John. Anything else you wanted to add regarding the tournament?
No, it's just one of my favorite times of year. I mean, this last weekend was just an unbelievable string of basketball, and really enjoyed it, and this weekend should be just as good. I guess I'll say that if it was up to me, I would not fill out a bracket, because it just locks you into rooting for teams, and I don't know. I just, for someone who, just like, it's, you ever hear the phrase, I can't even think of it now, but when you overanalyze so much, you watch so many games, like you can see the strengths and weaknesses of each team, and like when you see it on paper, it's just so tough to try to choose who's going to win the game. And I much rather just, you know, watch the games and analyze and do hypothetical wagers, as you call, instead of the bracket. But you know, for $15 to $20 of the, you know, potential to win $500, obviously I'll throw them out. Now, I don't expect the hair to make the final four, but you know, just for fun, see I take a chance. And well, that's it. I mean, I'm really expecting a fun tournament, and we'll see what happens. Should be a good couple weeks.
You know, I concur with as far as the bracket. Sometimes the bracket can really alter your motivation for watching these games. And I think, you know, in my case, I don't want to take my bracket too seriously this year. It'll just let the chips fall where they may, watch the games and enjoy some drama. And it'll be a lot of fun this time. So thanks for coming on, John, as far as that's concerned. Before we go, I just want to get the final thoughts from Chris on the tournament. Anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I agree with John a little bit. I think the more I watch and the more I see these teams, once it gets onto paper here, it does make it tougher. But I do like filling one out, and I do like the intensity of rooting for the teams you picked. Helps when you enter some pools, and you know there's a little bit of green out there to win. I actually like that. It's going to be a great few weeks of basketball, no matter what, so you really can't lose. But I don't mind filling one out and, you know, then cheering on my picks.
Okay.
But, it's one of the best times of year. It's one of the best times of year. We'll have baseball soon, NBA and NHL playoffs. It's just a good time.
It's a good time.
This time of year.
Yeah, it'll be
March,
good.
April.
Yep.
Can't argue with it.
No, April's a good month for sports. No question about it. And March, I think, is part of that as well. The end of March, and so it's really been a lot of fun. It's really been a lot of fun breaking it all down with the two of you tonight, Chris, John. Thank you so much for being a part of it, John. And good luck to your brackets. Good luck to your team, UConn. It should be a fun affair. Same for you, Chris. Good luck to Syracuse as far as they can go. I don't know how far that will be, but, you know, just savor every moment. Just as I say, one shining moment. Maybe there'll be one for this tournament for you. So, guys, take it easy. We'll follow your predictions and see how they go. And may it be a great tournament this year in 2014.
All right, thanks, Dave. Always a lot of fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. See you, John. See you, Chris.
See you later. Always fun. Thanks for having me. And if my picks don't pan out, please erase the show.
All right, I'll do that. All right, take care, buddy. All right, that's Chris in Syracuse. That's John in Connecticut. I'm Dave Medina. That's our show. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. We'll be back on Wednesday for a regular program. Savor and let those picks simmer down. Consider your selections. You might have a little bit of money on the line, too. So until Wednesday, we'll see you next time.